Now, when you hear the pep band play, you know it's a time for another edition of Crunch Time with JB and Double T live from the Eagle Country 99.3 studio downtown Lawrenceburg. Plenty to get to. What an eventful weekend, as they usually are this time of year. I mentioned a little bit earlier, we're going to talk a lot about high school basketball. We got college football, pro football, some accolades to get to, and high school football, plenty to talk to. So, JB, how's things going?
Things are going well. Good to be back with you. Kind of a little bit busy this time of year, as you know, so couldn't make it last week. We had a team function, and you did a great job, as always, flying solo. And good to be back in the seat. Let's talk some hoops, football, whatever you want.
I want to start out with high school sports, because there's a lot going on, particularly on the hardwood. The boys' basketball schedule is, well into things, as are the girls. So let's start out on your side of the ticket with boys' basketball, as actually they're announcing the Heisman finalist here on ESPN. So we'll get to that here in a moment. I'm seeing Chase Young on the screen.
He didn't
there,
even
JP.
Play all the games. He didn't even play all the games. There's your finalist, Travis. Joe Burrow, Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts, and Chase Young. No real surprises. I mean, I don't think Chase Young should win it, because he didn't play all the games. If you disagree, so be it. Good for Jalen Hurts. I don't think he's the winner.
No.
I think Joe Burrow is the winner.
I think Joe Burrow is the winner, with a little curveball here at the top of Crunch Time.
We've got real time. We've got ESPN on here in the Eagles Nest. But good for Jalen Hurts, just the whole story. I don't think he wins the Heisman. I don't think Oklahoma wins the national title, but it's still a neat story to see how he handled becoming a backup so graciously. Mm-hmm. Yes, he left. Who wouldn't, if you're that good of a player?
Yeah, you deserve to play somewhere.
At least in the public's eye, he's nothing but class, nothing but a winner, and it's neat to see him. But Joe Burrow's going to win it.
I can speak about the three Ohio State guys, and I include Joe Burrow in that as a transfer from the school. I do think Joe Burrow is going to run away with this, win the Heisman Trophy, well-deserved. But the two Ohio State players, quarterback Justin Fields and defensive end Chase Young. Chase Young's got 16.5 sacks, whatever it is, this year. You don't see that a lot at the college level, so he's been exceptional at his position. And it's nice to see a defensive player be recognized, at least going to New York as a finalist. And Justin Fields, his touchdown to interception ratio has been unbelievable this year. And he's another guy that transferred from Georgia, didn't get an opportunity to play there, and comes into Ohio State first year and has got him into the college football playoff.
Definite trend there with all these big blue blood college football programs gobbling up so many good quarterbacks that they can't all play, because we've already talked about Hurts, Burrow, Fields, all these guys are transfers. Fromm was a transfer, right, from Georgia. There's a definite trend there.
It's crazy. And now that we kind of went to the Heisman finalists there, let's talk a little bit about the college football playoff. Did you have any issues with the four teams that got in, or where they were seated?
Absolutely not. And if Ohio State was one and LSU was two, I would have still said absolutely not. I would have been fine either way. I didn't have a strong opinion either way. I was going to be fine either way. I think the committee, I don't say got lucky. I mean, they can't control the games, but I think it took care of itself. I think if Oregon finishes one play way back in August, mm-hmm. unfortunately for Oregon, if you know what I'm talking about, week one, August 31st versus Auburn, quality opponent, Oregon leads for 59 minutes of that game. Then it's messy with Oklahoma and Oregon. But the committee had everything break the way they needed it to break, with Utah losing, Oklahoma winning, and Georgia losing kind of uncompetitively. Zero issues here, and I'm excited.
I am too, and I think the four teams, it was easy to pick the four teams after the way things shook out yesterday. Initially, as an Ohio State fan, I was a little disappointed not to see them on the one line. I had a gut reaction thinking that the committee judged the whole season on one game, but after I got to think about it a little bit more, looked at the resumes, they're so similar, LSU and Ohio State, that either way you shake it. They both had good wins throughout the season, have been dominant for pretty much the whole season. Ohio State plays two bad quarters in the Big Ten championship. I get it. So I don't have an issue with it. And Ohio State, their coach and their players, they don't have an issue with it. They're just saying, let's go beat Clemson. So I'm going to have that same mindset and attitude as a fan.
Here's an interesting note. I would have voted LSU won. If I was on that committee, I would have voiced for LSU won. But if I would have lost, I wouldn't have died on that hill. Ohio State would have been fine. LSU beat more good teams in my eyes. But here's the but. Kind of knowing what we know now in Ohio State's defense, Ohio State entered the season and they lacked that marquee non-conference opponent, and they did. But and knowing what we know now, and
LSU
had it with Texas, and knowing what we know now, Ohio State's win against Cincinnati looked better and better as the year went. And LSU's win against Texas looked worse and worse. That said, my vote still would have gone to LSU because of the whole body of work. But I just thought that was an interesting dynamic. Like, it's almost like just like, let's not talk so much in the preseason. I know it's normal, but it's like, Ohio State, that win against Cincinnati looks pretty good. I know, yeah, Cincinnati couldn't beat Memphis.
I was kind of hoping that Ohio State was going to get the benefit of the doubt. They have beat three top 15 teams in a row, 3 weeks in a row to finish out their season. Nobody else had to go through a gauntlet like that to finish the season. But nonetheless, we got four great teams that are going to battle
We've got a couple more shows to preview this. I know you're going to predict LSU and Ohio State. I need some time on this Ohio State Clemson. I was shocked to see Clemson opened up as a favorite. Now that you and I are 21 and betting's legal in Indiana, we can talk about this. I was shocked to see Clemson open up as a favorite. And I got a lot of respect for those people in Vegas because they kind of know what they're doing. I'm not saying Clemson's going to win the game, but
big thing for Ohio State will get getting Justin Fields' knee 100% healthy going into that game, so he can be a little bit more mobile. But I think we're going to have a great college football playoff. Four great teams.
Thank goodness for the college football playoff. Imagine if this was the BCS era. Imagine having undefeated Clemson,
man,
returning national champion. Hey, we're the national champs. We're undefeated again. Ohio State and LSU, imagine the pickle. Imagine.
I didn't think about that. That's
I know the BCS had some tough pickles, but this would have been the toughest of tough pickles. So thank goodness for this playoff.
That's a good point. Let's just go ahead and stay with football, and now that we've kind of just gone all over the place here.
Well, we're just flipping the script here.
Which is fine, because we're going to get to all these topics anyways, but I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on the NFL, because I think the season's over here for our local rooting interest.
Tri-State. It is. Yeah. The Colts hung in there as long as they could, and boy, they've had some frustrating and disappointing losses. I mean, so many one possession losses. The kicking woes have been well documented. Yesterday, despite all the frustrating losses, they haven't really blown a lead. It was a new way to lose, and just disappointing, especially how they started. And interestingly enough, the Colts started 1-5 last year, made the playoffs. They start 5-2 this year, and they're not mathematically eliminated, but they're done. That AFC is too crowded. And, Brissett is back to, he kind of peaked in the middle of the year, and he's having his struggles now. So
I hate to kind of be this way, but if Andrew Luck doesn't retire, do you think it's a different season? I know it's a hindsight type deal.
Well,
there,
here's the deal. Yes, but not by much. That's my answer to that. I don't think the Colts, and I know they went into Kansas City and beat the Chiefs, but the Chiefs were struggling at the time. They seemed to be peaking out. I didn't think the Colts with Andrew Luck were a major Super Bowl threat, maybe that feel-good Super Bowl contender. So I do think if Andrew Luck's there, the Colts are sitting at 8-5. I'm not going to make
a little bit stronger chance that they could be a playoff
team. Sure, but I don't think they're – I just didn't view them as Super Bowls. But it's just kind of weird how it all went with them starting so strong, and Brissett did have a couple really good games there in the middle of the season, and it's just tough. Like, I put the Colts and the Bengals in a similar pickle. Now, the Bengals are in a different spot because they can choose Joe Burrow. It's like Andy Dalton and Jacoby Brissett. On one hand, they're not your guy, but on the other hand – they're not bad either.
No, not
you could
at all.
Be in a lot worse shape. I'm just afraid the Colts are going to get stuck in that we're competitive, we're finishing between 7-10 wins every year.
Middle of the first round.
Middle of the first round every year. Never. That's just the spot I'm afraid they're in.
Yeah, that's why sometimes I joke, within Bengals and Colts fans, I joke that the Bengals had a better season because they're going to get the higher draft pick. Because only one team can win the Super Bowl. So if you're not going to win the Super Bowl.
Only one team can win a Super Bowl, and only five or six can really feel like they have a legit – I guess if you make the playoffs, you have a shot. But I'm not like rationalizing them not making the playoffs. I would have loved the Colts to finish strong and made the playoffs, but Brissett or Luck, I just don't think they're on the level of New Orleans, Green Bay, Baltimore, Kansas City,
right,
New England.
And you mentioned there's a lot of teams in the mix in the AFC. I'm changing my pick. Preseason, I said I don't think anybody's beaten New England. Now I don't think anybody's beaten Baltimore.
Well, I'll take the field just because I would always take the field in a situation like that. I can't break it down in football reasons. I just wouldn't go all in on one team, but they're scary good. And, they won kind of a grinder yesterday, too.
And Buffalo's a good team, and they won on the road.
Buffalo's a good team.
It's tough to win up there.
The biggest thing Baltimore's got going for them right now is they are going to be able to stay at home and not have to go to New England. I think that's huge for anybody that wants to dethrone New England is to stay out of their stadium. You either need to get home field or watch somebody else knock them off. But Baltimore's the favorite, but Kansas City's peaking too. It's Both sides. Yeah. Go over to the East, and or not the East, but the NFC, excuse me.
A lot of good teams
Green
there
Bay,
as well.
San Francisco, and New Orleans played an unbelievable
Seattle.
Good game. Yeah, mm-hmm. Seattle.
Maybe it's more wide open than I think it is this year. But speaking of New England, they're going to be coming to Cincinnati this weekend. And I'll say just a couple quick things about the Bengals-Browns game yesterday. The Bengals played another competitive game, ended up losing 27-19. They actually outgained the Browns and won the turnover battle and still lost the game, which is hard to fathom. They got burnt by an overturned pass interference that would have been an interception for the Bengals yesterday. But anyway, they got New England coming to town, and New England's under investigation because apparently they were filming the Bengals sideline on Sunday trying to get their play calls. So that's the allegations.
Wow, you're breaking this news to me, admittedly, Travis. I watched my share of NFL yesterday and probably didn't click around on the internet much today. So that you're breaking that to me. No way.
I just saw it this afternoon. ESPN's been reporting that the Patriots had a scout in attendance and was filming the Bengals sideline in perhaps an attempt to figure out what their play calls are. So we'll see if anything is made of that throughout the week. But a little interesting storyline going into Sunday's game as Tom Brady perhaps coming to Cincinnati for the final time in his career.
Most likely, given the way the NFL schedule rotates, and it's hard to picture Tom Brady coming to Cincinnati for a playoff game anytime soon.
Exactly.
You only hook up with that other division once every 3 years. So, yeah, most likely.
Is he starting to lose it a little bit with his old age?
He is. I'm no football expert, but I've watched the Patriots two of the last three, and I can see where the experts are saying that. I know that offense is... Yes, trust me. I watched plenty of Tom Brady in my career as a Colts fan, and you know, he's missing some throws. And although he did have one of the longest runs of his career.
17 yards
yesterday. But, yeah, I do. I mean, Father Time's undefeated. Brady's 42. He said he wanted to play till 45. And real interesting NFL offseason storyline is coming up. We'll worry about that then, is Brady's a free agent.
Right, yeah.
That's a real and nobody's talking about it because we're in the middle of the season, and nobody should talk about it. The offseason's long enough, but that's going to be real interesting.
I hope that he does not play for another team. He's got such a great legacy there with the Patriots. I'd like to just either stay there if they want you back or go out on your own.
It's just crazy to think about how few quarterbacks actually pull that off. I mean, Marino and Elway, and you know, but there's so many quarterbacks that end up somewhere else in the prime of their career.
Joe Montana,
and I don't think anybody can picture Brady in that boat because the Patriots have stayed so dominant and relevant. But that might be
the reality.
A little more imminent than we all realize.
Yeah, I saw one NFL expert saying that he hopes that Philip Rivers and Tom Brady switch teams. That would certainly be interesting.
Well, maybe the Bengals fans should pack the jungle this week and show Brady all the love in the world.
We want Brady. Just give us 1 year
here,
and see if we can. That would draft Chase Young. We'll bring in Tom Brady as a free agent and roll the dice. We'll
see
what
happens. You ought to be a GM, Travis. You got it all figured out.
Well, you can do that on like a video game or something, but I don't think that's coming to a Paul Brown Stadium near you anytime. But one more football note. Let's get to the high schoolers because we got some people we want to recognize. JB, I don't know if you saw this or not, but eight of our local sports or football stars have earned All-State honors. We have three from East Central. Devin Donaworth and Gage Ertle were named to the Class 4A Senior All-State team by the IFCA. Luke Collinsworth was on the junior team. In 3A, Lawrenceburg offensive lineman Jason Morton made the senior All-State team. Ethan Paris on the junior All-State. And then the Milan trio of Dakota Sams, Chandler Rutherford, and Peyton Wirt all earned All-State honors as well. Well-deserved for all eight of those individuals.
And I'm not surprised. They come from three teams who had really, really good seasons that we obviously talked about all fall. East Central number one most of the year. Lawrenceburg finishes 11-2, another sectional championship. And Milan, they only finished with two losses and were right there.
Decatur, who was one of the best teams in the state.
Both to North Decatur. So great seasons for those teams. And, hey, great seasons typically don't happen without really, really good players. And those are eight real good ones. And congratulations to all of them.
And four of them will be back for their senior year. That's Luke Collinsworth at East Central, Ethan Paris with Lawrenceburg, and then Chandler Rutherford and Peyton Wirt both returning for Milan next season. So they might have All-State honors in their future 2 years in a row. So now we got through all the football stuff. We can change our tune to some high school basketball, and yes, as I mentioned, well underway in the boys and girls season. We'll start on the boys' side, and you know, our focus here is going to be on Lawrenceburg, South Dearborn, East Central, Milan, Rising Sun, and Switzerland County as well. Those are the six teams we follow, along with the most here in Southeast Indiana in terms of our high school broadcast schedule. And we got to see your Lawrenceburg Tigers for the first time over the weekend out at Milan. Felt like this was going to be a real good contest, and well, you guys put together quite the second half to come away with a 15-point win.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd take a 1-point win at Milan, a 15-point win. They've got really good players, and Coach Combs does a great job. And we didn't play as well as we could have in the first half, but Milan had a lot to do with that. I mean, they put and keep pressure on you. Their guard play is really good with Wirt, Asherman, Norman. You know, Wade in the post can stretch you. You got to guard all of them. They're a team that their bigs can shoot. And I think, you know, we were able to beat Franklin County the first night out of Milan. Plays at a different pace than Franklin County.
Sure.
And, you know, we did our best to simulate that in practice, but I think it took some getting used to for our guys. I mean, Milan plays hard. They're in you. They push the ball at you in transition. And honestly, Travis, we didn't play as bad as I thought in the first half. After watching the film, we didn't play well, but Milan had a lot to do with it. But I was real proud of our guys staying the course. We tightened up on defense a little bit, played much better team defense in the second half, held them to 15 points in the second half. Gavin Yoon, who, you know, listeners know, is a phenomenal player for us, struggled offensively in the first half before really, really stepping it up in crunch time. But, you know, brother Garrett kind of kept us afloat on offense with some three balls early, and Dakota Roth came off the bench and hit a three. The three ball kind of kept us in a game in the first half. Second half, our offense started clicking much, much better. And I was just real proud of our guys for sticking with it, grinding it out, whatever cliche you want to use. And that's a good team we beat. It's a real good team we beat. And if you just saw the score, we'll take the 15-point win. But if you weren't out there, it was much closer than what that score shows.
Oh, for sure. And our listeners got to hear it this past Saturday. But you mentioned Gavin Yoon, and we talk about Gavin and Garrett a lot with how good they are on the football field. Gavin's been exceptional, scoring the ball early in the season, and also rebound and a willing passer too. So I really like his game. But Garrett has really stepped up his scoring prowess this year as a sophomore, has helped you out the first couple games. But I love the way your guards are playing and handling the ball and not turning it over a lot.
Well, we only had six the first night out against Franklin County, which was great. And, yeah, Garrett and Gavin do a lot of that. We actually won the game at Milan without our senior point guard, Mitch McCool, who we should have back Friday. He kind of pulled a muscle in his hip area, but he should be on pace to just miss that one. Dia Patel is a sophomore. Had increased minutes, and then Dakota Roth and Adam Bird coming off the bench. So we're counting on good guard play. I mean, we've got skilled guys. We've got high IQ guys. They can shoot it a little bit, and we're counting on good guard play. And that's not to sell our front court short either, because I think Kamar Chenault, you know, who started for us last year, and he re-earned that starting spot over the summer and in the preseason. He's in the best shape he's been in his career. This is a guy who's had two major knee surgeries in his high school career. We finally got a whole off season out of him without him getting hurt or rehabbing. He's in the best shape of his career, and I think that showed in the second half at Milan on Saturday. So we like our team. We got great kids, and we got a lot of weapons. We're blending some new pieces in together, but we're certainly I think any coach in the state would sign up for a 2-0 start, so we're happy with where we're at, but hungry to get better, and a tough one coming Friday.
Absolutely. I had Kamar down in my notes here. He's off to a good start here with those two wins, giving you some good minutes down low. You're playing about 10 guys a night, a lot of depth there, so hopefully some more wins there for the Tigers. Big one coming up against Batesville on Friday. Another team that's off to a really nice start, who I've gotten to see in person, is the South Dearborn Knights, now 3-1 on the season. They have wins over Rising Sun, Franklin County, and Jackson Dell. They went across the creek, as Bubba Bo says here at Eagle Country 99.3, and took on a very good Holmes team that scored 92 points on them. But this South Dearborn team can really score. They've been over 70 the past three games, averaging about 67 points a game. And you know this team very well. Very aggressive. They like to push the ball up the floor, shoot quick, and they're going to press you and try to create havoc on the defensive end and create some turnovers, get out in the open floor.
They got a system in place. Coach Reinhardt is in his third year now, I believe. Mm-hmm. You know, he takes his team across the creek a lot. You know, his roots are in Northern Kentucky, right, as a player and assistant coach. And you know what? When it comes time to schedule, if you're us and you need a game or two, a lot of times, Travis, if you're in that spot where you need one non-conference game and you're us or South Dearborn, the closest team you can find that you don't already play in Indiana is an hour and 20 minutes away.
Yeah.
And we got so many schools with quality programs. Like Harrison dropped us, and we picked up a Kentucky school in January. But, yeah, Coach Reinhardt, back to the important stuff, it's his third year here, and they play how they play, and you nailed it. They put pressure on you on offense. They attack. They play fearlessly. He trusts all his guys to shoot the rock. They press you. They try to speed you up. And the thing I love about him is, and I respect about him as a coach, is he's going to do that no matter who they're playing.
Yes.
A lot of coaches,
yes,
and admittedly, I'm one of them, you know, hey, if we think we can speed you up with a little pressure because our athletes are better than yours, we will. But if not, we won't.
That's just how they play.
They're going to do what they do.
It reminds me of like a Shaka Smart VCU team. He's now at Texas.
That's a philosophy thing, and those guys are bought in. Alex Shackelford's back. He's a really capable scorer. You know, Reese Willoughby, Tristan Daly's a big energy guy for him. Then they got one of the better young players in the area in Hoffman.
Yeah, he's been very good.
He's filling it up early. So, you know, good for the Knights at 3-1. And I mean that. They're our biggest rival. But Kevin and I have a real good relationship since he came over, and you know, it's tough. It's hard to cheer against the area teams when you respect them like I do, South Dearborn.
Well, being a part of this community for so long, you know, me and you grew up here in Lawrenceburg, went to Lawrenceburg High School. We know how awesome it can be when both teams are really good
head-to-head. No doubt about that.
It makes for great regular season matchups. It makes for a good matchup at the Rivertown Classic. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But South Dearborn's got two games coming up this weekend. They'll be at Madison on Friday. That's a potential sectional preview, perhaps. Not anymore. Madison's out.
3A sectional news. Connersville, if you didn't catch this in the spring, because high school basketball is not on a lot of people's radar in the spring, Connersville's enrollment is declining a little bit up there. With the last realignment, Connersville dropped to 3A. They reshuffled the sectionals, and Madison goes back to their west with schools like Silver Creek, and Connersville's replaced them. But
all right,
to your point, Travis, most of us still play Madison. That's going to be a tough game for all of us.
Yeah, and then they have Boone County on Saturday. That's a part of the first annual Tri-State Shootout at South Dearborn, a pretty cool event that's going to pit Kentucky and Ohio teams versus Indiana teams, five games in total. Ludlow, Kentucky versus Shaw Memorial, Thurgood Marshall versus Southwestern Hanover, Campbell County versus Batesville, Beechwood versus Cardinal Ritter, and then Boone County versus South Dearborn. That's a pretty neat event they got going on.
It's a great event, and again, that goes back to Coach Reinhardt having connections in Kentucky, wanting to do that. I think it's awesome. He sent an email out last spring to all the area coaches, ourselves included, saying, hey, who would be interested? It didn't fit with our schedule. Our schedule was full. We didn't have any openings, and the date wasn't great because we play Friday and then we play next Tuesday, so I didn't want to create a Friday, Saturday, Tuesday. Right. Plus, our schedule was full. Anyway, that's the only reason we're not in it. It's a great event. I'm sure I'll be down there scouting, especially now that we saw the Rivertown draw. saying all these gracious things about South Dearborn, which I mean, but come Rivertown time, we're gonna try and take care of them just like they're gonna try and take care of us.
All right, so you can check out the Tri-State Shootout this Saturday. It's $8 to get in for all five games. So get down there and support South Dearborn and all those teams that are going to be playing. East Central so far this year 1-2. They've lost to Jennings County and Richmond, a couple 4A schools just like themselves, and they did defeat Milan over the weekend, just like you did. Tough weekend for Milan, drawing East Central on a Friday and then Lawrenceburg on a Saturday.
I wanted to say that about Milan, and don't forget they opened with Franklin County. So Milan choosing to open with three EIAC teams, you tip your hat to them. They don't have to do that.
Mm.
They could find some 1-2A's that they would beat. Tough weekend for Milan. East Central's 1-2. Lots of people would be 1-2 if you had Jennings County, Milan, and Richmond to open the season. I saw the East Central Milan game in person. My eyes were more focused on Milan because we played them 24 hours later. You've got the notes here, Travis. Their front court is back from last year.
Yeah,
Becker came off the bench Friday night, you know, for whatever reason. Obviously, I don't know, but he's a very capable player. Becker, Rohrabacher, Collinsworth are all back. A.J. Messmore lit it up Saturday night. I'm not sure what he did in their game against Richmond. Didn't see the stats or the film and probably won't. But their front court is formidable on both ends of the court. And if they can complement that with shooting the way they did at Milan on Saturday – look out. They're going to be a tough beat for anybody.
Yeah, so all four of those guys averaged double figures so far in those first three games. Now, we knew a lot about Becker, Rohrabacher, and Collinsworth from last year because they were three of their better players. Messmore's been a little bit of a surprise to me this year, but he's averaging about 14 points a game. Huge contributions there.
He's a shooter, man. So, he's a shooter.
I mean, they got a great team out there. They always do, and they're going to be challenging themselves again this Saturday. They're going to Ohio to play Ross.
Yeah.
So another big game for East Central. We'll do some quick notes here on Milan. We kind of just talked about them a little bit, one and two, after that treacherous start with the three EIAC teams. I think I haven't got to see them play in person, but I think they're trying to get Wirt, Asherman, and Norman to all play well on the same night.
You're 100% right. We just delivered a scouting report to our guys Saturday morning, and Asherman's first two nights out weren't up to his normal standards, and then he really had a solid night against us. Mm-hmm. Wirt didn't have his best night against us. You know, obviously, he's a real good player, and you know, I don't even want to say we were able to hold him down. I thought Garrett Yoon did a good job on him individually, and we team defended him pretty well. But he also, you know, just didn't have a good night. And boy, if you watched him against Franklin County, he was awesome. So you're right, Travis. Those three guys can score it hard, play and role players around them. Number five, Real, you know, those guys coming off the bench.
They're going to win a lot of games.
That's three capable scorers, and you're right. They just haven't put the ball in the hole together on the same night. And, you know, we were kind of the beneficiary of that because Asherman and Norman got going against us, and it really wasn't Wirt's night. So, yeah, they're a major player. But, boy, that 2A sectional down here, because South Decatur, I know they're out of our coverage area. South Decatur's got a couple move-ins. Look at their scores. They're putting some things up.
Southwestern's
still in there.
South Ripley looks pretty good.
North Decatur's got a lot back, and they just got beat by South Ripley. That 2A sectional is...
That one's a fun one.
It's strong. I think our 3A sectional is strong, too, but since we're talking about Milan, obviously.
That's why it kind of sucks because, you know, only one area team or, you know, semi-area team gets to advance out of all these sectionals, and there's a lot of good teams. A couple other teams we want to talk about. Rising Sun, Switzerland County. Rising Sun's off to an 0-2 start. Switz is 2-1. That'll be our feature game this Friday night down in VV as it's a ruler of the river. It's a non-conference game on Friday, but should be a fun one, as it always is. I've seen Rising Sun once this year. Landon Cole, TJ Manifold, they're two experienced guys that are back from last year's team, but Chase Keene and Peyton Merrick have played really well for them in the backcourt so far in this early season. America's a freshman, and Keene's just a junior, so they got some building blocks going forward. And then Damian Breek's one of my favorite players to watch here in Southeast Indiana, big-time scorer for Switzerland County. So those are some of the names that you're going to hear a lot coming up this Friday night on Eagle Country 99.3. We need to talk a little bit about girls basketball, and how about the Lawrenceburg Tigers? The beat goes on for Coach Zane White and his Lady Tigers, now 9-0 on the season with wins over Richmond and Milan on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, and you got the notes here. Defense, defense, defense. They're long. They get after you. They rebound the ball well. They change your shot inside. Obviously, it starts with Juliana Kemper, but and she deserves all the praise and press that she gets. But if you think this is a one-woman team,
no,
you're wrong. And they lost some key guys, but you got Tristan Dennis back in the fold. And I tell you, a girl that's coming off the bench for him in an increased varsity role this year is Chloe Meyer off the bench. She's a scrapper on defense, and Roe Ark up front. I mean, they can hurt you a lot of ways, and it's been real neat to see them form not a brand new team around Juliana. They got some girls back, but we lost some key pieces: Jenna Farmer, McKenna White, and Justice Chambers. So it's neat watching this team grow. They're 9-0. Their schedule's a little backloaded. They got some tough non-conference opponents. Still got East Central, Rushville, and Greensburg. But it's especially, obviously, I'm a little biased. I know the girls have some of them in class. We're great friends with Coach White. We're good again, that's for sure.
Absolutely. About nine deep, and they'll take on North Decatur this Thursday, and then they play Connersville on Saturday next weekend, the 21st. Big game against Rushville. I think it's the 21st, or it's somewhere
it is
around
the 21st.
There.
Yep, so we always play them the night before boys, and then which is the 20th. So, 21st.
That'll be a huge game in the EIAC. East Central back on track, 5-3 now, 54-37 win over Jennings County on Saturday. They had lost their previous two. The freshman, Josie Trable, has been fantastic this year. She had 29 points in that win against Jennings County, averaging 15. This is a team that when they shoot two-point field goals, they're real tough to beat because they can really score it in the paint.
Think about how talented Trable must be to break in as a freshman on that team. Yeah. East Central is a 4A school, solid established program, and for her to step in, I mean, that's. I admittedly have not seen him play, Travis, but just knowing what they have in that program, for her to step in that role as a freshman, she's. We might have another special one here in
Absolutely.
Southeast Indiana.
And, we're going to get a chance to see her. At least I am. Myself and Chuck Thomas scheduled to be on the call for a girls-boys doubleheader against Batesville on the 21st. But East Central back on track. They'll play Columbus North on Thursday. Switzerland County's been great so far this year. They've won six straight. They held Christian Academy to 10 points on Saturday. Saturday, a 37-10 win. Aaliyah Thomas has a 1,000 career point score now, so she's having a great year. As for South Dearborn, Milan Rising Sun, struggling this year, just 2-21 combined, but we do want to say congratulations to South Dearborn's Kirsten Bond. She recently committed to Columbus State University in Georgia, had a big game against Jackson Dell in a loss, but scored her 1,000th career point as well.
Yeah, good for her. Congratulations. And those three teams in the win-loss column are struggling. But I tell you what, I got to watch most of the Milan-Lawrenceburg girls game before our game. Out of Milan, it's not a lack of effort. I mean, those girls came out spirited, competing. They moved the ball well, missed some shots early. Otherwise, you know, they would have hung in the game with us longer. So it's not for a lack of effort, and I'm sure that's the case at South Dearborn and Rising Sun, too. So hopefully they'll finish strong.
Yeah, still a lot of great talent on those teams, so plenty of opportunities to get some more wins as the season goes. So we're running out of time here a little bit. I want to get to two more things quickly. Rivertown Classic draw. We got South Dearborn, Lawrenceburg, Switzerland County, Rising Sun. So two big rivalry games in the first round of the girls and boys tournaments.
Doesn't happen often. If you look back at the, I believe this will be the 20th year. I know it will be
the 20th year.
I know you can count the times that Lawrenceburg and South Dearborn have drawn each other on one hand, maybe only a couple fingers. It just doesn't seem to happen often. And I've been in the room when the draw happens. So conspiracy theorists out there that say they just want Lawrenceburg and South Dearborn in the finals, that is false. But it happened this year. And heck, Travis, I mean, you know it's going to be a great environment that first night at Rivertown, no matter who draws who. But this year, maybe even more so with the more traditional rivals hooking up in round one.
Well, we can't wait for it, and we'll cover all eight games from the Rivertown Classic January 8th through the 11th. You can read more about the draw at EagleCountryOnline.com. And I want to talk about Mason Paris before we wrap it up. Number two in the nation in the heavyweight division, 15-0 on the season. He just won the Cliff Keen Las Vegas Invitational over the weekend.
So is it just me, or like within a year, he's went from red shirt to, oh, we won't red shirt him, to, oh, he's the team captain. He's number two in the nation in the heavyweight division.
Yep.
None of the above surprises me.
So he beat the number six ranked dude from Arizona State in the final of that Las Vegas Invitational. He has beaten eight ranked opponents this year. I'm going to call my shot. I think he's, well, maybe I shouldn't. I don't want to
put that kind of pressure on a young man.
But I think he's going to make a run in the NCAA tournament this year.
I think that's a safe play without being more specific with how far. I think that's a safe play. Look, I had the good fortune of having this young man in class on two different occasions, shared facilities with him, never coached him. He played different sports than I coached, but was around him a lot. I've seen him work. I've seen him work in a classroom. I know the way he takes care of his body, and he's the type of kid that success only makes him hungrier for more. He's not going to sit back and count his medals until, you know, who knows what year. So good for him. Keep it rolling, Mason.
Well, I wouldn't count the medals because there's probably too many of them to count. But we'll certainly be excited to see how he does going forward in his young wrestling career. That has been Crunch Time with JB and Double T. You can tune in every Monday night, 6:30 to 7 o'clock, to hear 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation. It's a lot of fun. Thanks for listening. And join us next Monday, 6:30 to 7. It's Eagle Country 99.3.